Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Woohoo! It's been another week.
I can't get over this rain. I really like, it's so strange. I don't feel like I'm living in Southern California.
And you had some flooding in your house.
I had some flooding
in
the basement.
Awful.
And mudslide, another mudslide.
Oh my.
Forgot to mention that one too.
It's such a cute little mudslide though.
It is actually, and the kids love playing in it. There's this silver lining. They literally will like go in like, you know, totally like pigs go in there.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. It's nuts.
So weekly highlights.
The weekly highlights of craziness in the Miller household was we went to Manhattan Beach to visit some friends. Mm-hmm. And this is, I'd have to say, I really love California because there's just so many different cool nuggets of the city.
You know, cool nuts. No. Of those two.
Well, yes. that is absolutely true. But like just so many different neat areas. So we went down and we had a great time. And then Remy, my older son, we were in some clothing store and I didn't see what he did, but my guess is he was probably trying to climb something. and he grabbed a piece of metal and it hit his eye and I felt so bad. He's okay.
Did it actually cut him?
It's just a big shiner, you know? Oh, so I was teaching him, I'm like, if people ask you what happened, you say, you should see the other guy. So we were trying, and I said, you can make up a story that a bear hit you, you know, we can have so much fun with it. But he's like, no, I'm going to tell him the truth. It was so funny. But he's okay. But it was scary. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. So let's see. Coming up this week, isn't the Academy Awards this coming Sunday?
Oh, yes. It is. The 26th.
Are you big on those?
You know what's funny?
I never watch them.
I watch them a little bit the next day. I don't have the patience to go through the whole two and a half, three hours.
It's like sometimes they used to go over 3 hours.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yep. And you never know when they're going to insert the most important ones that you're
waiting for. Exactly.
You know, have you seen a bunch of or any of the movies that are?
So I want to see Fences. I haven't seen it. I did see Manchester by the Sea. It was phenomenal.
So funny. We tried to watch that and just
you couldn't do it.
Was mood driven or whatever. We were at home. Maybe we were talking too much or something, but it was like 20, 30 minutes in. It's like, I just can't get through this.
Really? So, I thought it was really good. And he was a great actor.
Yeah. It's a very highly esteemed movie. I saw Jackie.
Oh, that's right.
This weekend. And that was really an interesting portrayal. I mean, I can't say that I loved the movie, but she was amazing.
She really was.
When you look at a picture of Natalie Portman and you look at a picture of Jackie Kennedy
at the same age,
I think Natalie Portman's like 34 or 35, so she made the movie at 33, and that's the age Jackie was during that time. Unbelievable.
My gosh.
Like, it could be one and the same person.
Really?
Amazing.
Wow. I have to see it just for that. Yeah. And what else is there?
Fences. Hidden Figures.
Yes.
Fantastic movie.
That was great.
Fantastic.
It was really great.
Hope that one wins.
I know. It's so good.
Just because the story itself is so amazing.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
But it so pisses me off about history and how we're told so little of really important, amazing things.
We really are. It's like, I wonder why now they're doing a lot more. I don't know. But thank God, you know?
Well, thank goodness we're here in one piece to talk about all this stuff, right? I have a lot of gratitude in me lately.
That's
I'm not
so
really
nice.
Sure why, but it's just sort of oozing out of me. Last week, I'm very grateful that we were able to find a very long-term professional colleague and friend of mine from way back, Dr. Todd Feynman, who is also known as the Evidence Doctor, and he just shared some amazing. He's such a good guy.
It was just really neat. I mean, I was actually telling a friend over the weekend about it because he's very research oriented and, you know, and I was like, gosh, you should really listen to that show because it's really fascinating that he thought of this. And I can't believe that. And I think I said this when he was here. I can't believe no one thought of that before he did. You know, I mean, it's really bright. It's really smart. So I love his whole thing. So if you missed that show, you can listen to our podcast on iTunes. And again, that was Dr. Todd Feynman, the Evidence Doctor.
Okay, well, we have a special treat today, and this is totally in my wheelhouse of interest because it reminds me of my daughter, too. And by the way, if you are listening and would like to give us a call, because we are live at this moment, you can call us at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Today, we have Acharya Shunya, who's the president of the California Association of Ayurvedic Medicine and is author of several noteworthy national and international organizations, including to the Government of India on International Ayurveda and Yoga Affairs. She was recognized as one of the top 100 trailblazer of Ayurveda and yoga in America by Spirituality and Health magazine in 2015 and awarded for her distinguished service in Ayurveda and yoga by the California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco. She wrote the book Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, a complete prescription to optimize your health, prevent disease, and live with vitality and joy. Welcome, Shunya.
Great. Thank you to be here.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I swear, this is when I wish our show was visual, although then I would always have to do my hair, and I don't want to. But this book is beautiful.
It really is. It's
beautiful.
So calming.
The cover is just amazing. The interior of the book has so many lovely, wonderful recipes, yoga poses, and descriptors and information. So this is such a treat for you to be here to talk to us.
Oh, totally my pleasure, and I'm so excited.
Can you tell us, what does Acharya actually mean?
Yeah, so for the longest time in India, Deborah, Ayurveda, which is a system of health and healing, a sister science of yoga from India, incorporates lifestyle, nutrition, garden herbs, meditation, was taught in these spiritualized traditional schools where a master would, you know, teach disciples, but the master was once a disciple of another master. So it's like a chain of teachers. And this traditional school is called a Gurukulam, the family of the guru. And, you know, it goes over multiple generations. And I happen to be born in a family which has a lineage that goes back thousands of years, and not everybody was forced to be part of the school because I was born as late as the 1960s, but in amongst a bevy of cousins, I and another one were really attracted to it, and we got invited to be part of the school, and I spent 14 long years studying and mastering the knowledge of Ayurveda and yoga and the spirituality that surrounds it from the Vedas, and graduated as a master teacher, the teacher of teachers, which is known as an Acharya. Oh. And because I'm doing the work of my lineage, I decided to keep my traditional title.
Love it.
Oh, that's so interesting. It. Okay, because we weren't sure. I thought that was just your first name. I didn't realize that it's like the title. Oh, that's so cool.
Yes. And this is so sweet because my daughter, as many of our listeners have heard me say a number of times, has just recently graduated from the California School of Ayurveda up in Nevada City near Grass Valley, California. And you just mentioned earlier before we started that you spoke at the graduation last year.
Yes, that's right, last year. So maybe at that time I might have met your daughter more as a student because she was not graduating last year.
Correct. So she just loves it, and she found her element, which is so exciting to me. Like she sort of struggled with where she wanted to go in life, what she wanted to do. She's such a creative and beautiful person. And, you know, she found this, and it's her. It's like it just totally resonates with her. So tell us, you refer to Ayurveda as the best-kept secret of humanity. What have we been missing?
I think the number one thing that we've been missing is a whole discussion around health, because, you know, we have our mainstream medicine, which I totally respect and would use if I need to for urgent care or, you know, a quick distressing symptom relief. And, you know, I have, you know, bow to it in many ways. But at the same time, its definition of health is absence of disease till today. And there's a whole, you know, focus around disease management, which is fine and worthy, but let's move on. Mm-hmm. And then in the last few decades, we've all started talking about disease prevention. WHO talks about it. Very nice. But we're still talking about disease in some way. And when we deal with dis-ease, there is, you know, the accompanying fears and, you know, restrictions and constrictions in our psyche. And there's this whole paradigm around awakening health that I found that Ayurveda was really trying to do that. And the sages who gave us Ayurveda and yoga and meditation and all these beautiful arts and science and, you know, of lifestyle and being in sync with nature and spirituality are really confident that, yeah, disease occurs when you get imbalanced, but instead of focusing upon that, why not focus on health? And so I was getting these hits, Deborah and Kelly, for a while there. And then in the last 10 years, I did exactly that at my wisdom school in, you know, California near Berkeley. And through the various charitable ventures as well as wellness ventures, you know, not only in California but even outside America, I created these awakening health clinics where people might walk in with a certain condition of body and mind, for like MS or even like ulcerative colitis or, you know, diabetes. And I would tell them, that's okay. You can do what you need to do with your MD, and please be responsible to your MD and, you know, let them know what you're doing. But here, how about you do these simple things like wake up in the morning, you know, take some rose petals and stick them in a glass of water and drink that, you know, and it's like, what does that have to do with my bleeding ulcers or my MS, you know, or put some lather your body with oil and tell yourself, I love myself. It's like, yeah, that's fine. We're awakening your health. And then that's what happened. So what was my, what I had watched happen with my master teacher, my master in back home in India in this tiny town by the by a riverside where ulcers were healing, depressions were uplifting, cancers were disappearing. I thought they were miracles, but they were not. There is this secret paradigm. Health is our birthright, and we have to evoke it from within. So I don't want to sound like it's out there, and that's why I took 10 years of witnessing, documenting, before I wrote this book and shared very living case studies. That's the secret, and it's out, and I want to talk about it.
Oh, of course, and it's wonderful that you talk about it. I liked what you just said about rose petals and water, because I have, like, 14 rose bushes right outside of my bedroom, and I pick them a lot, but I never thought of putting them. What exactly would I do?
You know, if you have roses, especially, I'm sure being who you are, you don't, you know, use natural pest control, or you, you know, or you just talk to them and they grow and they bloom. So I think when those petals start dropping, collect them. And before they fall on the ground, ideally, and save them. And either make a fresh hot tea with it, but then let the water, you know, settle down, like not heat, but room temperature before you drink it. And you can add some raw sugar, as in sugarcane sugar, to it, or even honey at that stage when it's cool, not when the water is hot, and you drink it. And that's like a rose sherbet. And if you have cardamom, like a green cardamom, this exotic, beautiful aromatic spice, you can add some powder of the cardamom by grounding it fresh. And oh my God, this rose sherbet is going to purify your skin, remove blemishes. It talks your heart and the organ, the emotion, the chakra, and your mood gets uplifted right away. And it also is antitoxic, and it's a fever remover.
Oh my God.
So that's what you do internally. Externally, if you draw up a bathtub, you can, you know, throw in a cup of fresh or petals or dry petals, and it's going to do all those benefits to your skin, because you know that the skin is, you know, it's receptive to whatever is applied to it, and there is, you know, micro digestion happening on the surface too. And so people with rosacea, people with burning heat and, you know, rashes on their skin, they just are so grateful to learn something as simple as a rose. And so it's like, we're not fighting rosacea, we're awakening an inner health.
This is beautiful. And when you think about it, so many people probably received red roses or some sort of roses for Valentine's Day that are now probably falling, all the petals are falling. you have a perfect practical use for them now that's going to give you all this great benefit. I love it.
So I love those common tips. I'm wondering if you can, for our kind of layperson, give us a couple more tips where we can use Ayurveda in our normal everyday life.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and what I did in this book was that I made sure that every ingredient that I'm going to ask you to procure to, you know, bring nature closer to you is, you know, something you can find in your kitchen or, you know, a local grocery store or a natural food store or grow in your garden, in your balcony, in pots, or just order it really quickly and it shall arrive in a day. So nothing exotic, nothing strange. But let me, you know, while we're on flowers, let me talk about marigolds. Okay. Now, we all love marigolds, right? I mean, how they bloom. They look like little packets of sunshine. But again, you know, before they dry, save the petals and let them dry and then make a tea out of it. And this tea is drunk warm. And it's an antiseptic, it's an antibiotic, and it's an anti-allergen. And it also causes weight loss. So, you know, along with your jasmine tea and whatever, make your own homegrown marigold tea. You can also ground up the fresh petals, mix it with milk or honey, either one, either are, and then apply it as a face pack, and it's a quick pick-me-up. So these are just really simple things. Mm-hmm. And I just want to share that marigold is considered a sacred flower, along with the lotus in India. And if you go to any temple or any spiritual site, which are thousands of years old, they'll be like, you know, marigold gardens everywhere, you know, garlands, and they're decorating all the places. And I wondered why, and now I know that marigolds just, you know, they are the feel-good. They are like they improve the happy chemicals, the serotonin, and I think Kelly would, you know, agree with that, that they're just some things that go in through your senses and just boost your happy factor.
That's
so
cool.
That's one thing. And then, you know, we've all heard about turmeric, and if people haven't, our listeners, and hope they do look it up, but turmeric is a yellow spice that you can find everywhere now in its organic powdered form. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, hype out there around buying it in capsules or mixing it with pepper, but I'll tell you the age-old way. Mm-hmm. To detoxify your system, lose weight, balance cholesterol, and even, you know, just fight cancer, because now it's all over in every prestigious journal about the benefits of turmeric that Ayurveda first knew and documented. So go ahead and just swallow 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric on your tongue, and don't worry. By the time you have breakfast, all the yellowness will go away. Just put it in your mouth and drink some warm water with it first thing in the morning. And tell me in a month later if your entire health just feels like you've gone through some kind of a makeover. Everything will get a boost just by that first thing in the morning, and then wait 15-20 minutes before you have first cup of tea or coffee or whatever you want. Hope this helps.
This is amazing.
I've been taking the capsules. So are you saying the capsules really aren't that good?
I'm just saying, save yourself a bunch of money, buy some organic turmeric, and just let it touch your tongue, because there is this concept of, you know, of tasting what you want to connect with. So let your tongue, you know, feel that bitter. It's bitter, but it's not terrible bitter. It's like a metallic bitter.
Yes.
But, you know, in Ayurveda, we have the concept of taste, sweet, sour, salty, bitter, astringent, and pungent. And actually, the taste has a therapeutic value. And in this case, it's the bitter taste, and your stomach can't taste it, only your tongue. So when we put it in the capsule, you know, we pay a premium price for it too, which is fine if I had to give it to a kid and they didn't want to take it, but you can.
Yeah.
And that bitter taste is like, it's like part of the package.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this book kind of takes us back to a non-diluted, non-dumbed-down, non-commercial version of Ayurveda. You know, of course, in a sensibility for our modern 21st century. But I haven't made up any stuff. I haven't tried to kind of surround it with any kind of, you know, hype that, you know, it's just out there, and it's simple, and I'm so glad that it's being well received. It's been a bestseller on Amazon now for several days in a row.
Oh,
so I'm just
good
so
for
happy.
That's fantastic.
That is fabulous. Yay.
Yeah.
So
great.
Excited.
Yay.
That we can help
support.
Yes, exactly. Because it really is.
Gosh.
It's a wonderful and easy to read and comprehensive. So I have one quick question about the lifestyle. Is there something, I'm getting a slight cold, and I'm just wondering, you're probably the perfect person to talk to. I mean, you hear all sorts of things. You hear chicken soup, you hear, I mean, I used to go to an acupuncturist who used to say ginger and warming foods, and I'm curious what Ayurveda, you know, says about that kind of thing.
Oh, I'm so glad, because this is the time when people start getting colds, and then if we don't arrest it now, it can actually get really worse in spring and have repeated bouts of it, because in spring, there is a melting and oozing action. You know, spring is like the earth is full of water it has received, and it's like springing up with all kinds of things that we didn't know were available, right? There's grasses and flowers and new leaves and, you know, beauty, but when we've had too much heaviness and water in our foods, it will come out as phlegm, allergies, and itchy eyes. Yeah. So the first thing Ayurveda would say is you have too much water element in you, Kelly, and so it's a good idea to do a little bit of fasting in the sense that become pretty hungry before you eat, so that in the time that you're hungry, your body digests whatever you're carrying that is becoming a liability to your system and, you know, and compromising your metabolism, and therefore you are creating this watery, you know, fuge through you. The other thing is that, you know, instead of cold water, drink heated water. And I think the Chinese doctor was correct, but more than fresh ginger, if you can find dried ginger powder or just, you know, look it up online and order it for a dollar or two, you can find a pound of organic ginger powder. And, you know, that, along with turmeric, maybe, you know, 1/4 teaspoon ginger powder, 1/4 turmeric, and just swallow it with warm water and 2-3 times a day. By the end of the day or within a few hours, you'll start feeling like, where did that go? But still, to be sure, for 2-3 days, do not snack, because that keeps, you know, challenging your digestive system. Take smaller meals, eat early, and and stay warm.
That sounds
good. It's going to fight it off real quick.
Oh, cool.
Okay,
oh,
great. I love it. I love
me
it.
Too.
So there's this whole concept that you are hopefully going to educate us about of the different, there's pitta, vata, and kapha.
Yeah.
And you hear those words, and I get them confused all the time. I think I have a lot of vata. That's that, like, you always feel like you're floating and flying or too much energy.
Yeah, so Ayurveda, I'm glad you asked that question, and I'm sure your daughter would love to, you know, diagnose you. But parents are very hard to diagnose, so.
That's funny.
Because we, you know, we're, as children, because when I was a child growing up and learning this knowledge, I wanted to diagnose my parents and at the same time scold them and at the same time be bossy. So it's a difficult one with children.
she has given lots of information, though, about me, and I'm very receptive and open to it.
Oh, good. But you're a different kind of mom. You're the doctor with a completely open consciousness, right? So it's amazing. So yeah, so doshas are, its technical word is dosha, D-O-S-H-A, which literally dosha is to Indian Ayurvedic medicine, Deborah, what, you know, qi is to Chinese medicine. So our listeners may find that easy to comprehend. And then further, while, you know, Chinese medicine talks about one kind of qi, Ayurvedic medicine breaks it up into three kinds of energy. It's one energy, but three different, based upon the functions they perform and the qualities they evoke in our mind and body, creating a constitution. And apparently everything has these doshas, so the foods we eat are also influenced by them. So to really, you know, in a very simple way, we can say that the first dosha, vata, as Deborah mentioned, is, you know, the dosha that is made of wind and air, and it causes, and it, you know, regulates and controls the movements within our body mind. So from the blinking of the eyelid to the movement of the esophagus or the bowels, or, you know, delivery of child, ejaculation of semen, you know, every movement, even cellular mitosis, meiosis, that's kind of a movement, cell division, everything at subtle level that we cannot see and at a gross level that we seem to manage ourselves, like movement of our limbs or our speech, is managed by vata. And then also vata manages our thoughts and how they move and how they connect with each other. So probably the, you know, the nervous system and the movement of the, how the neurons fire and connect and all of that is managed by vata. Now, olive, and we may be dominant in one or two or three of the energies, but if we are dominant in Vata, we ourselves might be like moving rapidly. We might have, a body that is, finds it difficult to be still, not excessively, but it's quick to move. On a positive end, it makes us like really light and easy to move around. We might be wonderful communicators. We would be beautiful meditators. We would be open to new ideas because we are moving around and we are not so fixed and rigid. But on a negative end, we might lose weight. We might have pain in our joints. We might have anxiety because the thoughts are moving fast. We might not fall asleep because there isn't, we can't sleep. The mind is too scattered. We might have, because of wind, there's dryness. We might have constipation, burping gas, which is all like related to Vata. Mm-hmm. And so say we started oiling our body with warm oil that would balance out the dryness and coldness of Vata dosha. And so that's a lifestyle practice I teach in the book. Mm-hmm. So that's Vata dosha. Another dosha is the fiery dosha, as Dr. Deborah said, which is Pitta, P-I-T-T-A. It literally means that which is fiery. And this is responsible for all kind of thermal activity, metabolism, conversion, transmutation, not only of food, but thoughts and ideas within our mind. So if we are dominant in Pitta, we would be having a pretty good digestion to begin with. And we would also have a smart mind, and we would problem solve and really like see through things, and people would see us as a natural leader. We'd have a pretty good memory, and we would be pretty cheerful too, because that fire would allow us to burn through our problems and have a clear head. But in excess, it can cause irritability, burnout, mm-hmm. and even heartburn or burning sensation in hands and feet, or rashes, and just a mind that feels like it's on the edge. And any extra heat, as in the hot sun or a hot shower or a hot sauna or even alcohol, can make us turn red and heated and just a little bit miserable. So we can again use Ayurveda to balance it out by incorporating cooling foods like coconut or cucumber or aloe or milk and other things, and we have a list there to use, and it helps. We have had people with years and years of heartburn or difficult to control hot red rashes, and they follow the lifestyle and fine-tune it to be Pitta balancing, and they're so happy. Finally, we have the last one, which is Kapha dosha, which is made of water and earth. It's a little heavy, it is dense energy, and it creates, in a positive sense, it creates structure, immunity, endurance, and the body gives it its like density. In the mind, it creates patience, loyalty, and ability to go deep into knowledge and learning. All good so far. But in excess, in the body, it can create weight gain, it can create obesity, water retention, mm-hmm. in extreme cases, even diabetes or, emphysema, just like a lot of water, and on a day-to-day basis, colds and coughs and allergies, so it's like a lot of water and earth, and it's heaviness. And in the mind, it can create sadness, grief, loyalty to the wrong person, inability to make changes because we're like feeling heavy and stuck and unmoving. So we again balance it with a typical lifestyle. So the knowledge of these doshas and how they impact us and how they impact different foods. So for example, if we eat chili and ginger, it's going to increase fire and Pitta dosha. And that's why I asked Kelly to maybe drink hot water, because we want to bring up the heat to balance out the heaviness and coldness of Kapha dosha, and not drink cold water or cold juices. Even orange juice, if it's cold, don't let go of the vitamin C, and instead drink a hot water with ginger powder in it, or add more garlic to your food and things like that. So we can fine-tune the whole universe and really lead a designer lifestyle and eat a very specific palette of food until the doshas are balanced, and then they remain balanced. And people reclaim health, amazingly, in spite of it being so simple. Hope that helps. It's a big topic. I'm sure your daughter will study it for many years, but I had to recapitulate it in just a few minutes, but I think it might work.
Oh no, it's lovely, and it, what it's saying to people to understand is that you can move in and out of different imbalances depending on what your lifestyle is like and what different things are going on in your life, right? I mean, that's what am I getting that right?
Oh, absolutely. I think, yeah, exactly. It really
okay, so
helps.
It's not like you're born a Vata and that's it.
Always going to be imbalanced in one or the other. Because it feels like, as you described that I have a lot of my Kapha availability when I'm in my office working with my clients.
Mm.
Yeah.
And when I'm on my own, I think I get a little more into my Vata and Pitta.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I feel like I have different energies that are at different strengths across any given day or parts of the week. So would it be like whatever I feel like I'm in at that time to try to use in all in one day? Could one use all of those little remedy things that you suggested, or is it better to focus on one?
That's a wonderful question. So the question you're asking is, do they fluctuate and I work with them, or are they constitutionally, genetically fixed?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is, I kept it really simple in the book, and it's my own approach of working with doshas and lifestyle over the last 30 years and the way I studied it traditionally. And the way it is I have given a list of how doshas behave in your body when they are in balance, and then how do the same doshas behave when they are in imbalance. So it's just a small place, is just one or two pages where you go in, Dr. Deborah and Kelly, and you can literally check to see if Vata is behaving itself or is it misbehaving itself. Okay?
Okay.
Is Pitta behaving itself? If it's behaving itself, yay, you have a friend.
That's
your
funny.
Fire is working for you.
Uh-huh.
You know? If Vata is behaving itself, it's not causing you aches, pains, bloating, insomnia, and, you know, anxiety and missed memory,
uh-huh.
Let it be, because it makes you an out-of-the-box leader. But if it's not behaving itself, then you can look up the Vata balancing diet for a short time until it starts behaving itself. So consider it like three little naughty kids in your home. You love them. They do great stuff for you, but
so
they
funny.
Should behave themselves.
Yeah.
So if they're not behaving, bring them back. Once they behave, have a party in your life. You don't have to worry about your doshas.
Oh,
so I like that. I feel like we all have the three doshas, so we can't keep mm-hmm. looking at myself all the time. And besides, we go through so many changes in a 24-hour day and a 12-season day. So I have changed the way I teach dosha, and it really is super easy. I would just go through that list and see what's bothering me, and whichever dosha is bothering you more, say all three are bothering you more, you work on the one that's bothering you maximally first, then the second, and then the third.
Uh-huh.
All your children are sitting down on dinner, eating properly, saying grace, their good manners, you're good to go. You know,
that's so interesting.
I am putting my Vata and time out this afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. That is awesome.
So, and then when did you move to the States? Got a personal level, I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. I moved to the States, I don't remember how many years, but I know the year. It was 1998.
Okay.
And, yeah, so it's been, I think, more than two decades now. Yeah.
And when you first came to the States, oh, sorry.
Oh, I just said that. Where do you reside now? Which part of California?
So, I'm in a small city called Emeryville, which is right on the neighboring city of Berkeley that everybody knows about.
Okay. Awesome.
We're like our own nation in Berkeley. So
that's
the
so
street
cool.
opposite to my school is Berkeley, and this side of the street is Emeryville.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's where we are. And Kelly, you had a question for me?
Yeah, so I'm curious, when you first came to the U.S., I'm wondering what your experience was when you realized American medicine. Was it like complete shock?
No, because the so-called American or Western medicine is very popular worldwide and also in India.
Oh,
you know,
it is. Okay.
So, you know, I had been exposed to it when I was young, around 14. I suddenly had a lot of pain and inflammation in my hips and it kept coming and going. And at one time when I was around 18, I couldn't walk and I had to use a stick. And prior to that, I had perfect health. And around 14 or 13, just before that, I was having a little rebellion of my own. You know, when you are a rebel in childhood, that's how you get to be a leader in your adulthood. So I was just mm-hmm. going through my rite of transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to follow Ayurveda lifestyle. I just wanted to live like what we would call, you know, just, you know, I wanted to make up my own routines for a while there. And though I belong to this lineage, all my teachers, and especially my grandfather, he didn't rub it in my face to not do it. He just went about his own role modeling. But cutting a long story short, I had so much pain, and I told my father to take me to a hospital, very renowned, and, you know, and I came back with painkillers, but then they gave me diarrhea and stomach cramps. And so one day I was sobbing in bed, and my Baba looked at me, and he said, "I can't walk," I told my grandfather, and he said, "Yeah, then why not fly?" And I was like shocked, you know. And but I knew, I saw the invitation in his eye, which meant come back. You know, you were meant to fly, not sit there and look at your feet and be unhappy. And I did that. I stopped thinking about what was wrong with me, and I applied oil to my body, mixing sesame with castor to reduce inflammation. I have all those details in the book. Yeah. Eating vata-balancing foods, the air-balancing foods, because it was controlling my movement and it was giving me pain. And I, you know, started leading that life, and, you know, I'm going to turn 50 next year. Wow. And I am walking, and I'm also running now. And much later, I found out that, you know, I have a genetic condition, an immunological condition that puts people in wheelchairs or, you know, surgeries or narcotic medicine to deal with pain. But I've quoted a study which was published in the National Institute of Science here in America. I'm not remembering the journal name, but a very prestigious journal, which talks about lifestyle immersion turned off a prostate cancer-causing gene and turned on prostate cancer-fighting genes. So it's a science of epigenetics that I had not heard of. But now, in retrospect, it reconfirms what happened to me in my life. So the Western medicine, Kelly, was not a shock. I had been exposed to it. Somewhat helped, but mostly it didn't completely fill my need to really look at the root causes of the problem, which is more energetic and based on how, what I ate, what time I slept, what did I think. And so I have since then decided that I can use Western medicine, or I recommend it to people for extreme care or urgent care, or when their symptoms are very distressed. But to heal and work at the deepest level, I invite them to Ayurveda and yoga, you know. So that's my foray in Western medicine.
Wow, okay. If you just tuned in, we are talking with Acharya Shunya, the author of Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, and you are so smart.
And she's so sweet,
and
too.
And I love the cadence in your voice and how you speak. It's just, it's very soothing. So if you have a question for Shunya, please give us a call at 323-203-0815. I am dying to talk a little bit more about yoga, because, Kelly, you know that recently, about 6 months ago, I have had a long history of back issues and such, and so I finally just said, I am going to do yoga a minimum of 3 times a week and Pilates 2x a week, and I have been doing it, and it has changed my life. I mean, I love my new chiropractor. He's like a genius, and I do these classes, and I have to tell you that I just feel so much better. So what is the connection between Ayurveda and yoga, and your personal connection with that?
Well, I think that's just great that, you know, you're an ambassador for this, you know, science of yoga, and through your own personal experience, I think that means a lot to listeners. You know, we're not just coming from this lofty place recommending all these exotic Eastern treatments, you know. You know, Ayurveda and yoga are historically, for thousands of years in India, sister sciences. And, you know, you could say that the yogis are the most, like, the original teachers of yoga, who are giving us these teachings of yoga and, you know, right breathing and meditation and mindfulness. Like, what were they eating? What time were they getting up? What changes did they make to their diet during the seasons? Like, you know, that's the Ayurveda part, okay? So I think they work together. And in my lineage, we also teach the deep philosophy, because yoga, when we do this yoga asana, you can confirm with me, Deborah, if that happens to you, you might have gone in for your backache, with which you got pretty good relief, you know. But I'm sure that when you're holding that posture and breathing through it, your mind feels better. Tell me yes or no.
Oh, absolutely. Everything feels better. My mind is clearer. I'm calmer.
Right?
I'm just, it has really had a positive impact on me in a holistic way.
Yes. So yoga postures is not just an exercise. Yoga posture is a mind-body paradigm-shifting movements of the body. They would be, they bring together the concepts of Tai Chi and prana and, you know, acupuncture, and even chiropractic is so holistic. I think it all comes together in yoga, and Ayurveda is a knowledge that contexts all of that. So as you read my book, continue with your chiropractic and yoga practice, eat some of the recipes that are like life changing. You know, your health can only get better and better and better. I mean, there is just no limit to it, you know. It's like we want what is good needs to get better. What's yes. better needs to be like awesome. And that's the connection. And in my family, there is a cobra pose, you know. And I was told that, you know, you're not going to be able to walk again, Missy. You know, this is it. You have this condition, that name. This is a gene called HLA-B27 that's bothering you, and this and that. And I had this huge, big, you know, performance shown to me. And I'm just standing on its own face, and I'm saying, yeah, but I have yoga. And so I do the cobra pose every day. And my one tip to all our listeners is that these, you know, do a little research and see that every posture you do was, you know, developed by the rishis or the sages after observing how animals do things like the dog pose or the cobra pose. Uh-huh. So try and remember that animal. So when I do the cobra pose, I get in touch with my inner snake. That's what I'm telling you. and I change, you know, my consciousness changes. And it's so much fun. And so my sections on yoga and the illustrations, they're all very classical. And I've made recommendations on yoga postures to sleep better, to have a good bowel movement, and, you know, all those things in the book. Because wherever I felt relevant, I kept adding pieces to it. But I do want to share, Deborah, that I'm working on my next book on a yoga.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm actually, as you were speaking, I was thinking, Kelly, I'm going to make a challenge to both of us on air that by next week we have to come back and report having made one of these fabulous recipes.
You okay. I would love that. I'm a horrible cook. This is my problem.
Said,
but these look pretty simple, thank God. They're pretty simple. So. But yeah, and I want to do the turmeric challenge.
Oh,
I wanna,
for sure.
I want to try
in
that.
In your honor, Shunya, Kelly and I are going to commit to making sure that we have each done at least one of the recipes.
And I'm going to do the turmeric. And I want to share, too, that my husband has horrible indigestion, and he's got like an esophagus issue, and so he's always been on those medicines, Prilosec and all those, you know, I can't remember the other name, but I heard about turmeric for digestion, and you know, I told him and he wouldn't listen. Now we go to a holistic doctor who, thank God, told him about turmeric, and he is on, I don't know if he's barely on the Prilosec, but it's mostly turmeric, and I'm just so relieved.
Oh,
isn't that great?
This is beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, I'm really grateful that the new field of integrative medicine, functional medicine, I mean, I get invited to medical, you know, conferences, and I talk to mainstream doctors, and they're like inviting me to come and present an Ayurveda. So I feel there's a very positive growing edge of Western medicine that's really open, and it's really willing to bring forward this great science, you know, which is just amazing. And my own students and my own people who come to us are often from the Western medicine fraternity, nurses and doctors. They're like really open. I do want to say, Kelly, that maybe, you know, you can read like 3 or 4 pages of chapter 5, which is on food and digestion, the first 4 pages to your husband as like, you know, story time gift from wife to hubby.
That's so cute.
And it has a story, a real story, and I can have, you know, and I can have her come to your show one time when your husband has completely turned around from his condition, because we've had so many people recover from taking antacids and, you know, acid blockers and things, which he's taking.
Yeah.
There was this woman who, Beverly Herrera, a 60-year-old, very successful realtor. Her story's right there on the first page, who had 30 years of stomach pain, and she had been, and they were also thinking that, you know, it's a leaky valve and acid reflux and, you know, all kinds of, and after a while they had to go into very imaginary and unbelievable diagnosis, but she had no help. Mm-hmm. And she was in always pain, you know, which went from chronic to acute to pretty unbearable. Her daughter, who's a physicist, and so the mother, you know, kind of respects her opinion in that sense, mm-hmm. came to me, was my student, and I was benefiting, and she gifted her mother a gift card. The mom was feeling quite cynical and jaded out, but she trusted her daughter's opinion, so she came. And I gave her, like, a pitta balancing diet and just one or two things, just because, you know, you see a six-year-old woman who's suffering from pain. Sure. I mean, you can't really write a long prescription. So I just gave her a few things. Just, like, take out these three things, add these three things into your food. And she says, okay, I'll come back in a month. How much better will I feel? And I said, I was very confident. I said 30%. Mm-hmm. And the woman came back and she said, I'm feeling 50% better. Wow. And this is unbelievable because I've had 30 years of pain. What did you do? I said, nothing. You awakened your health from within. But now I didn't even give her any medicine or anything. I said, here, now follow more of this diet. I'll see you next month. She was 90% better. Okay. The woman got so healed, so happy that she went ahead and did like a 5-year Ayurveda physician course at my school.
Oh, wow. My God.
And then, yes. And then she got her two daughters to study with me, grown daughters. And then this is the best part, and I'll conclude in a minute, that she found out, you know, many years later when she had become a physician, that a 19-year-old girl child in, you know, just her neighborhood, who she had seen kind of play with her granddaughters or talk to them or hang out with them, had been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mm-hmm. And Beverly barely knew them, but Beverly got on the phone with her mother and said, look, do you know about Ayurveda? I'm like, what Ayurveda? Like, okay. Yeah. You need to change the food of your daughter, and I'm willing to cook for you. Because, you know, this was, the mother was in shock, and the mother had no time to learn, you know, these recipes, and the book was not present at that time, many years ago. And Beverly was a realtor, and she'd come home at lunch just to cook for the daughter, you know, 2-3 meals a day. And soon the word got out, and a whole community, a lunch train developed in the neighborhood, cooking these exact recipes which are in the book.
Wow.
To cut a long story short, the girl recovered. She's having a normal life. Oh. Of course, she went through with her regular MD, but the moment she started eating those healing recipes, everything changed for her. So Beverly Herrera, from a skeptic, got not only motivated to learn the science and give it back, but then she also got motivated to offer selflessly her time and her skill in her neighborhood. And I celebrated her story on the first page of the food chapter, you know.
Oh.
So if you read this story,
yeah,
and if our listeners read the story out to themselves or to their other, and, you know, they would feel like, you know, like maybe this is ancient knowledge, but it's relevant to our modern times.
That's absolutely amazing.
Oh, my gosh. And I can't believe it, but we're running out of time.
Yeah.
This was so fantastic. Such useful tips, things that we can actually go home and do right away. I'm going right to Sprouts and getting a big pound of turmeric.
Yeah, me too. I'm getting turmeric and ginger powder.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Whole Foods. We'll do
the
Whole
hell
Foods.
With the capsules. I'm going to go right for the real stuff. Oh, my gosh. So much wonderful information. So, please, everybody, go get a copy of Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, a complete prescription to optimize your health, prevent disease, and live with vitality and joy by Acharya Shunya. And tell us, where can they find you and where can they find the book?
The book is selling everywhere, from Amazon to Barnes & Noble to Whole Foods to Pharmaca. You know, it's just selling everywhere. And so you can order it online or go into a store and grab it. And people, maybe I can share my website, Deborah. What do you think?
Please.
Or would you share it?
Oh, you share
go
it.
For it.
Okay, yeah. So just my name, which you will find on, you know, the radio show's blurb. So just type in my name, acharyashunya.com, A-C-H-A-R-Y-A, Acharya, S-H-U-N-Y-A, Shunya, and then .com. And that will also connect you to my school in Berkeley, California. And then you can see pictures of my teacher and of me at an 8-year-old, 9-year-old when I was learning this and narrating this. So it might be fun to see that.
You have such a sweet presence. What a beautiful really do. Guest. You do. Thank you just it's like I want to hug you. Like yeah. I'm going to give you a cyber hug. But yeah, you really do
hugs,
a gentle
back
sweetness.
To both of you.
Hugs,
it's clearly
hugs.
Our first conversation. I have a feeling we're just going to keep doing this, Deborah and Kelly.
Yes,
I love it.
Over the years.
I love it. Okay, so thank you so much.
Yes.
And let's see, next week we have somebody that you discovered, Kelly, Lillian
oh, yes.
Bridges.
I wonder if Shunya knows her. She is the Chinese face reader. Her name's Lillian Bridges. She does Chinese face reading, which I thought was really cool. So she can look at somebody's face and kind of tell what physical ailments are going on. So I don't know if you heard.
That's
of her.
Amazing. I'm surely going to log in and listen.
Wonderful.
But thank you so much. And
thank you.
And keep us posted on the second book. We look forward to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And everybody, don't
okay,
forget
bye-bye.
To use. Bye bye. Everybody, don't forget to use those rose petals.
Yes.
That you have just. You know, in falling the, off your long right. stem dozen red roses that your honey got you or that you gave your honey.
Yes.
Do it. Okay. Kelly, well, I love you.
Love you too.
Love
I'll
you
see
all.
You guys next week.
Bye bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show only on LA Talk Radio.